His sister, Zorara, went to Imam al-Sadiq and was fascinated by his character. In other words, consultation with the sister made Zorara one of the best companions of Imam al-Sadiq.
عدی ابن حاتم که از یاران ویژه امیرالمومنین علیه السلام
Ali ibn Hatim was one of the best companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Several of his sons were martyred on the path of Islam. He was introduced to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam through consultation with a sister. Here in Islam, the women are respected as men are. Gender has no meaning in the case of consultation. As we can see in the Holy Quran too, the daughters of Prophet Shu'aib gave him counsels and his action, and this action has been approved by Islam. This means that consulting a wise person, whether a man or woman, is useful according to Islam. The same was true about Hisham ibn Hakam, who was introduced to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam upon the suggestion of his uncle. Therefore, taking counsel from the wise people can help us be guided into the right path. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website www.parstoday.com Call of Islam page. We'll leave you in Allah's care.
In the limelight.
ECCO has all the potential to become one of the powerful economic and political blocs of the world if heads of member states strive to remove distrust by adopting independent and progressive policies without any dependence on the exploitative West. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kayhan International staff writer. This article is published under the heading ECCO ought to materialize its powerful potentials. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. The President of the Islamic Republic of Iran was the star attraction at the 15th summit of the Economic Cooperation Organization, ECCO, in Ashgabat. Dr. Sayyid Ebrahim Raisi, in his speech at the summit, suggested that the 10-nation ECCO create an internal financial mechanism to boost its efficacy, and that Iran, as the founder member, along with Turkey and Pakistan, is ready to help connect the member states' fiber optic networks and promote artificial intelligence projects. He pointed out, in addition to its unique position in enjoying material features such as a population of 500 million that includes young and skilled manpower, as well as ownership of 1/3 of the world's energy resources, the Echo has a privileged identity called Islam. All 10 Echo members, including Iran, Turkey, Pakistan, Afghanistan, and the republics of Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and Tajikistan, are Muslim states with a rich history of cultural, religious, social, and lingual commonalities. In the medieval era, Persian was the lingua franca of the whole region, which produced scholars and scientists of repute in various fields, thereby contributing significantly to the development of science, technology, culture, and civilization. Dr. Raisi's emphasis on inter-Echo trade was noted by the media in view of the fact that the abundant natural resources of the vast region, spreading from the borders of Europe in the west to those of China and India in the east, could make member states immune from the pressures and illegal sanctions of the U.S. and of their Western regimes. There are extensive areas of cooperation among Echo countries, including banking transactions, boosting of road, rail, and air networks, setting up of joint industrial projects, and promotion of tourism. Moreover, Iran, with its extensive coastlines on the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman, provides the landlocked countries of Central Asia with the safest and most economical connection to the high seas and the international markets. Among other important issues facing Echo states is security and the need to coordinate policies for confronting the problem of terrorism, whose chief promoter is the U.S., which has transported to Afghanistan the macabrely murderous Takfiri terrorists in thousands in order to keep that country in perpetual turmoil and to send them across the borders to destabilize neighboring countries. Without the least doubt, the regimes in Washington, whether Democrat or Republican, along with the illegal Zionist entity, are the avowed enemies of Islam and Muslim countries and should never be trusted. The Iranian president on the sidelines of the Echo Summit held cordial talks with his counterparts from other member states, including host Gurban Ali Berdi Muhammadov, whose country shares a 1,148 kilometers long border with Iran, stretching from the Caspian Sea to Afghanistan. Echo has all the potential to become one of the powerful economic and political blocs of the world if heads of member states strive to remove distrust by adopting independent and progressive policies without any dependence on the exploitative West.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. Or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Last week, the Israeli Minister of Military Affairs, Benny Gantz, made a two-day visit to Morocco. On Wednesday, Morocco and Israel signed the security cooperation agreement during a ceremony attended by Gantz and the Moroccan Defense Minister, Abdellatif Loudi. The agreement lays the foundation for security cooperation, intelligence sharing, and future arms sales between Israel and Morocco. Deal comes less than a year after Morocco normalized ties with the Israeli regime under a U.S. brokered accord following the footsteps of the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and Sudan. The North African countries have had strained relations for decades. Algeria cut diplomatic ties with Morocco in August, citing hostile actions and Morocco's normalization of ties with Israel. Algeria holds Morocco responsible for leading a media war against the country, being involved in deadly forest fires, and backing separatist groups. Moreover, Algeria has rebuked the recently signed security cooperation agreement between Morocco and Tel Aviv. The Algerian president, Abdelmadjid Tebboune, deplored the deal and described Morocco's threats against his country as unprecedented and disgraceful. He even warned to retaliate against any attacks against his country. Also, the Senate President Salah Boudjil said that Gantz's visit to Morocco had targeted his country.
Well, as you know, the Israeli government, along with the United States, has been pushing for recognition among African countries and Arab countries as well. The so-called Abraham Accord has been imposed on several states, including the Republic of Sudan. Algeria has consistently resisted this type of pressure from the United States and from Israel.
Morocco's agreement with Israel also drew condemnation from the Palestinians. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas urged Morocco to sever ties with Israel. It slammed the agreement as a great sin against the Palestinian cause and a move against the strategic goals of the Arab world that cannot be justified under any pretexts. The dispute in the Western Sahara region has been a decades-long bone of contention between the two neighbors. Morocco annexed the vast Western Sahara region, a former Spanish colony, in the 1970s, and has since been in conflict with Polisario Front independence movement that seeks to end Morocco's presence in the region. Algiers, on the other hand, supports the Polisario Front that seeks independence for Western Sahara, which is claimed by Morocco as its territory. The border between the two countries has been closed since the year 1994.
The statehood, just like every other African country that was colonized, had a right to establish their own government and their own sovereignty. So that could go a long ways towards resolving the conflict in the Western Sahara and between Algeria and Morocco.
Following Morocco's normalization of ties with Israel last year, then U.S. President Donald Trump agreed to recognize Morocco's sovereignty over Western Sahara, abandoning a long-standing U.S. policy on the region. The Algeria-backed and pro-independence Polisario Front rejected in the strongest terms Trump's stance on the disputed Western Sahara desert region, stating that the former U.S. president attempted to give to Morocco that which does not belong to it. Also, Algeria later rejected the agreement, saying the U.S. decision has no legal effect because it contradicts UN resolutions, especially UN Security Council resolutions on Western Sahara.
Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, the former head of the Iranian Defense Ministry's Organization of Defensive Innovation and Research, was assassinated on November 27, 2020, when the car he was riding in came under attack near his countryside residence east of Tehran. Fakhrizadeh had reportedly been on Israel's hit list since at least 2007.
This is how Dr. Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, head of Project Ahmad, put it. Remember that name, Fakhrizadeh.
But he wasn't the only Iranian scientist to have been targeted by Israel. The regime made several assassination attempts between 2007 and 2012 that claimed the lives of four nuclear scientists and wounded another. That's on top of sabotage attacks on Iran's nuclear sites that have become more frequent over the past months. Iran has vowed to continue the work on its peaceful nuclear program. The international community, however, was largely silent over the recent assassination, a similar attitude of indifference that's displayed toward Israel's airstrikes on Syria and its aggression on the Palestinian people.
The point is simple. Israel is America's most important friend and ally in the Middle East and in North Africa. Israel is exempt from prosecution in the eyes of America, simply because without Israel, America's position in the Middle East and in North Africa would be in serious jeopardy.
Iran has vowed a harsh response against those behind the attacks on Iranian nuclear scientists and sites. A report published by the New York Times suggests that the United States has called on Israel to stop its attacks on Iran's nuclear program, suggesting that they could help strengthen Iran's capabilities. The article cites officials familiar with the discussions who said Washington has told Tel Aviv that the attacks are ultimately counterproductive, as Iran has been able to replace the damaged centrifuges with newer and much more capable ones within months. According to the article, The U.S. officials have admitted that Iran has improved its defenses, including with regard to its cybersecurity, rendering an attack similar to the Stuxnet virus extremely difficult to succeed. Israeli officials have reportedly rejected the U.S. call, saying they don't have any intention of ending their anti-Iran policies. Yet the credibility of the whole report is under question, as Washington and Tel Aviv hardly disagree on matters, especially in the case of Iran.
The Americans understand that Israel's actions often cannot be defended publicly, so it cannot always be seen in public as siding with the Israelis. So that is why from time to time the Americans will issue a public statement saying that they have issued a caveat to Tel Aviv about their actions vis-a-vis Lebanon or vis-a-vis Iran.
The report could also be a scare tactic in an attempt to obtain concessions ahead of the key talks in Vienna on the obligations of the parties to the 2015 Iran nuclear deal. But Iran has repeatedly stated its firm position that the talks must end in the removal of all anti-Tehran sanctions.
On life support, in tatters, and on the verge of collapse. These are some of the terms that have been used to describe the current status of the hard-earned nuclear deal that emerged in 2015 after so many rounds of painstaking diplomacy between Iran and the P5+1 group of countries. The deal is almost dead, with the U.S. having abandoned it, the European parties failing to abide by their commitments or make up for the damage from the U.S. withdrawal, and Iran having rolled back some of its commitments. Who's to blame for the status quo? Many point the finger at former American President Donald Trump and his favorite maximum pressure policy involving a long list of anti-Iran sanctions. His successor, Joe Biden, a vociferous critic of Trump's confrontational approach, has insisted that he wants to return to the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. But after taking office in January, his administration has enforced every single sanction that the former president imposed against the Iranians. This has led Iran to doubt Biden's seriousness. Iran and the P4+1 group, namely Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany, held six rounds of talks in the Austrian capital, Vienna, between April and June to find a path back into compliance with the deal. But critics say the Biden administration missed that window of opportunity by refusing to make up for America's unilateral withdrawal and provide proper assurances that it will not violate the deal again. Despite this, the involved parties are going to give diplomacy another chance with a new round of talks scheduled to take place later this month. Discussions are set to resume in Vienna next week. Top negotiators from Iran, Russia, China, Britain, France, and Germany will sit down for talks again. U.S. representatives will also be in the city, but not in the same room, as Iranians won't directly talk to the party that unilaterally withdrew from the international deal. What are the talks' chances of success? Iran says to be successful, the dialogue must lead to the removal of sanctions. Tehran also insists that America must offer guarantees that it will not abandon the deal again. The U.S. has repeatedly rejected Iranian demands for such guarantees. How is the U.S. planning to deal with its seriously damaged credibility? The head of Iran's permanent mission to the international organizations in Vienna said this week that the United States should prove its goodwill by removing sanctions against Tehran. During a meeting of the International Atomic Energy Agency's Board of Governors, he said that the credible and effective lifting of sanctions is the basis of Iran's willingness to abide by the terms of the agreement. He said it is unfortunate that European countries still do not want to openly condemn the unilateral withdrawal of the United States and the reimposition of sanctions, which is the only cause of all current problems.
First of all, in order to understand Europe, you have to understand the European Union. To understand the European Union, you have to understand it is under the control of Germany. Germany is a vassal state of the United States of America. Germany was conquered after World War II, where they lost the war, and they have been a vassal state ever since that time. The vassal does not tell the sovereign what to do. That's why they're not arguing with the United States. The United States tells them what to do, not the other way around.
It is definitely hard to guess what direction the talks will take, but the next meeting could shed light on how the two sides will approach the discussions.
Every year on the fourth Thursday of November in the United States, people hold ceremonies to celebrate Thanksgiving. The annual Thanksgiving holiday tradition in the U.S. goes back to when English settlers arrived at U.S. coasts. The landing was followed by a religious celebration by the settlers, but it proved disastrous for the indigenous people living there. It was just the beginning of pillage perpetrated in the service of European expansionism. Native Americans were greatly affected by the European colonization of the Americas. The annual celebration has come to symbolize the genocide of Native Americans.
The day known as Thanksgiving has extremely racist origins in the United States. It's a holiday marked by the U.S. government that represents the genocide, the enslavement of indigenous peoples. It was marked as a celebration of the bloodshed of Native Americans on their own land by white settlers from Europe who settled on this land.
Many believe Thanksgiving, marking the birth of the U.S., leaves out painful truths about the nation's history. Presenting Thanksgiving to children as primarily a happy time trivializes the trials and tribulations of the continent's indigenous population. The United American Indians of New England meet each year at Plymouth Rock on the Coles Hill to mourn.
To this day, there are indigenous peoples who are being pushed out of their lands in the United States. The Navajo Nation, Apache Nation, the Chumash Nation, the Iroquois Nation. All across the United States, indigenous people, they're still resisting and fighting the settler colonial project known as the United States.
They gather to remember and reflect in the hope that America will never forget the sacrifices and tragedies of its native people. The United American Indians of New England declared Thanksgiving a national day of mourning 50 years ago. It is a day of remembrance and spiritual connection, as well as a protest of the racism and oppression which Native Americans continue to experience to this day.
So the roots of Thanksgiving are actually a celebration of a massacre of innocent women and young children and families who were on their lands and were brutally murdered in horrific ways by these foreigners who came from England, from Holland, from other European nations. And at its core, this represents the foundation of the U.S. imperialist system of the United States as a nation, as a country.
Native Americans have endured genocide, discrimination, the abduction of their children, deliberate infection with smallpox, forced labor, and other abuses inflicted on them by their non-indigenous oppressors. They were banished by the 1830 Indian Removal Act to largely barren reservations in the American West, and they have remained invisible to the rest of the country ever since. In the U.S. today, Native American households are 19 times as likely as white households to lack indoor plumbing. African Americans and Latin Americans are twice as likely. Some Native American families have to drive an hour or more to retrieve fresh water.
Discrimination against indigenous peoples on the United States remains extremely rampant. Right now, as we speak, indigenous peoples are the poorest nation, the poorest communities of all other groups. They have the highest level of poverty, even compared to Black and Latino communities in the U.S. Indigenous peoples have no sovereignty over their land. They're forced to live on reservations, what they call them, which are huge concentration camps, where there is oftentimes no running water, no clean infrastructure, no connectivity to the outside world. Very few hospitals, very few schools.
300,000 members of the Navajo Nation, which spans New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah, represent 75% of all households in the U.S. living without electricity. The vulnerability of Native Americans to COVID-19 is disproportionately high compared with other populations.
Poverty, discrimination, a lack of health care, lack of education, lack of proper housing, and even worse is repression of indigenous peoples through police brutality, through the military-industrial complex, through violence. One of the biggest issues that has plagued indigenous communities in the United States are work sites, mining sites, backed by these huge European banks.
Poor health amongst Native Americans is caused by many contributing factors, including high rates of poverty, isolated geography, poor education and nutrition, inadequate sewage disposal, unhealthy living conditions, to name a few. Alcoholism is chronic and widespread, spanning all age groups, and heroin use among some tribes is four times higher than elsewhere. The serious issues with mental health among Native Americans are closely linked to other risk factors. Native Americans have the highest unemployment rates across the country. All of these problems that were just mentioned are a result of the U.S. and its takeover of Native Americans and their land, which to this day, Native Americans are suffering as a consequence.
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Allahumma inni ataqarrabu ilayka bidhikrak wa astashfi'u bika ila nafsak wa as'aluka bijudika an tudniyani min qurbak wa an tuzi'ani shukrak wa an tulhimani dhikrak Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadhallilin khashi' an tusamihani wa tarhamani wa taj'alani biqismika radiyan qani'a
Brothers and sisters, as you have been previously with us, you already know that we were talking about the part where Imam Ali alayhi salam in this divine supplication says, Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala khadi'in mutadallilin khashi'. O Allah, I verily ask you, with the asking of a submissive, abased and lowly man, an tusamihani, to show me forbearance, wa tarhamani, and to have mercy on me, وَتَجْعَلَنِي بِقِسْمِكَ رَاضِيًا قَانِعًا and to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment وَفِي جَمِيعِ الْأَحْوَالِ مُتَوَادِعًا and to make me humble in every state. We talked about the first two requests in the previous programs, the request for forbearance and mercy, and in the previous program specifically, we started talking about satisfaction, and where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَتَجْعَلَنِي بِقِسْمِكَ رَاضِيًا قَانِعًا to make me satisfied and content with your apportionment. So, the compassionate one has provided his servants with the sustenance, and it is appropriate for each servant, But for some people it is expanded and for some it is narrow. But he has set some different ways for the servants to get lawful and halal sustenance, and that's why there are many traditions encouraging people, even in the verses of the Holy Quran, encouraging people to gain sustenance through these legal and lawful ways. And we have many traditions on the importance of the issue. The Holy Prophet ﷺ has said, طَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيدَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيدَةِ. Setting out for getting lawful sustenance is an obligatory deed after other the obligatory deeds. For example, like saying prayers, like fasting and others, and this is also obligatory after those obligatories. طَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ جِهَادٌ, the Holy Prophet has said. Seeking out lawful sustenance is like jihad, or holy war in Almighty Allah's way. Apart from these types of traditions, there are some other traditions, including some advice on how to increase the sustenance. Once a man asked the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, how he could increase his sustenance. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu stated, Dum ala tahara, yuwassa' alayka fir rizq. Keep on purity and cleanness, and your sustenance would be expanded.
Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation, and I pray to you to intercede on my behalf, and I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances. Oh Allah, I beg as one whose neediness is extreme, and who supplicates his knees to you, and whose desire for that which is with you has become great. Oh Allah, great is your kingdom, and exalted is your greatness. Your plan is secret, your authority is manifest, your might is victorious and subduing, and your power is prevalent throughout, and it is not possible to escape from your dominion. Oh Allah, apart from you, I do not find anyone able to pardon my sins, nor to conceal my shameful acts, nor do I have anyone except you to change my evil deeds into virtues.
Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam has said, مُوَاسَاتُ الْأَخِ فِي اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ تَزِيدُ فِي الرِّزْقِ. Helping religious brothers increases sustenance. We have many of these izdiyadu fi rizq, this phrase in many of the narrations. For example, in another tradition, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Isti'malu al-amanati yazidu fi rizq." Trustworthiness enlarges the sustenance. Means you are the one who keep the people, and you are the trustee of the people, but you do not have your eyes after what the people possess, and this means Almighty Allah has another way to provide you with your sustenance. The fifth infallible Imam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam, has stated, عَلَيْكَ بِالدُّعَاءِ لِإِخْوَانِكَ بِظَهْرِ الْغَيْبِ. Pray for your religious brothers in their absence, فَإِنَّهُ يُهِيلُ الرِّزْقِ, because it descends an extended sustenance. In other traditions, we have husnul khulq yazidu fir rizq, having good behavior, or من حسن بره أهل بيته زيد في رزقه. The one who serves his family nicely, his sustenance would be expanded. So you see, dear listeners, the Almighty Allah has provided many ways and paths for getting lawful sustenance, and He has provided many somehow bonuses and many activities and deeds that will raise our sustenance. And they are all lawful and loved by the Almighty Allah. But the point is that we have to get to know them throughout the traditions and the verses of the Holy Quran first, and then implement them in our lives. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
In Thailand, monkeys climbing on piles of fruits and vegetables in central Thailand is not due to a mess, though. It is actually an annual event called the Monkey Festival in Lopburi Province. The long-tailed monkeys, known as macaques, feast on 2 tons of fruits and vegetables in Lopburi. That is the capital city of the province with the same name. Locals say the event is a symbolic way to thank the cute animals for doing their part in drawing tourists to their town. This year's festival took place after a 2-year halt due to the pandemic.
Today is the 33rd time that we held this event. This year under the theme of Wheelchair Monkey Party, where we organizers will donate 100 wheelchairs to people in need. I would say the event is very successful. Many Thais and tourists are visiting.
Lopburi has been holding the annual festival for its monkey population for decades now. COVID restrictions meant last year's party was missing its usual crowd of spectators. However, this year the humans were back in force with more than 100 turning out to see the monkeys. If you enjoy nighttime adventures, then this park in Paris is just for you. Decorated with colorful lighting, the avenue gives you a real feeling of life-size sculptures depicting dinosaurs and other prehistoric animals. Now, this exhibition, dubbed Evolution on the Path of Lights, visitors can walk through tunnels formed by some of the sculptures. They are all made of paper, steel, and lights. Some more than 100 sculptures light up like lanterns across the park. These include well-known favorites of kids, such as Triceratops and the T-Rex. Some huge lanterns also represent insects and vertebrates that walk on the planet millions of years ago. The exhibition's director says that the goal is to raise awareness and educate the public about biodiversity in the past and present. Historical monuments have many duplicates made by enthusiasts around the world. India's Taj Mahal is not an exception. But the one you're about to see right now is not just a physical copy. It shares the spirit of Taj Mahal as well. This mini replica is located in the city of Burhanpur, some 800 kilometers away from the magnificent Taj Mahal itself. It has a love story behind it too, just as Taj Mahal does. Anand Prakash Choksi, a teacher, has built this replica as a gift to his spouse. It took Choksi 3 years to build the four-bedroom house that is decorated by artisans from Agra, where Taj Mahal is located. He says that he has made the replica to show his love and spread the message of peace. Taj Mahal was built by Mughal Emperor Shah Jahan in memory of his wife Mumtaz Mahal back in the 17th century. Now, for those interested in ancient history, Egypt has unveiled a renovated ancient road dating back some 3,400 years in spectacular nighttime ceremony. This historical corridor is nearly 3 kilometers long and connects the temples of Karnak and Luxor in the center of the southern city of Nile. The stone road, also known as the Avenue of Sphinxes or the Ramza Road, features over 1,000 traditional sphinxes and ram-headed statues on its sides. The site was buried under layers of sand until it was discovered back in the late 1940s. Since then, the path has undergone decades of excavation efforts, but experts say that many statues have been completely damaged.
Sphinx statues were completely damaged and in very bad condition because wrong restoration works were conducted in the 1960s and 1970s. In the previous century, they used wrong materials for the restorations. Now we're using internationally recognized materials for the restoration works.
Egypt has described the site as the largest open museum in the world. The new attraction aims to help revive the country's tourism history industry. The sector has been hit hard due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Robots now helping as teaching aids in some Korean kindergartens. The pint-sized machines do everything they can, from singing to reciting stories. The robots, being as tall as nearly 25 centimeters, can also dance, have sing songs, and even teach kung fu moves. That gives children fun as they mimic the robots' push-ups and one-legged balances. It's also good for the kids' creativity. In fact, that's the purpose of sending the robots to hundreds of kindergartens in Seoul beginning from August. Each robot has a camera and its helmet, making it possible to take photos and send them to a tablet for viewing. Teachers say they love their new ways.
The robots are helpful when at times it's hard for me to read everyone's stories. The robots can read out stories in a very entertaining way by switching voices accordingly.
For now, the robots are being used as part of a pilot program, but Korean education officials hope to use them more widely, although they say the machines would not replace teachers. The officials believe having this experience in nursery schools will have a lasting effect throughout the kids' youth and as adults.
Spacecraft are used for a range of purposes, from observation to exploration and navigation. But this specific spacecraft was designed for a totally different purpose, to smash into an asteroid. In a first-of-its-kind mission, NASA launched the vehicle, Dot, from a Space Force base in California. The mission will take 10 months to travel to a pair of asteroids. It will eventually crash into one of two rocks and see if it can change its course. Just before impact, DART will deploy a small satellite to take photos of the crash. Space organizations around the world are eager to find ways of countering objects that might head towards the Earth. The good news, though, is that for now, none of those objects are a threat.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
And old manuscripts are precious and can sometimes fetch attractive sums of money. But this one has gone far beyond, as it's a really rare handwriting belonging to a world-famous scientist. This manuscript was sold for a whopping $13 million at an auction at Christie's in Paris. But would you still be surprised if we told you that it belongs to no one but the great physicist of our time, Albert Einstein? Einstein did not have a habit of keeping drafts, and this is one of only two manuscripts that have survived. Einstein wrote the 54-page document in the early 1900s in Zurich, Switzerland, and his colleague Michel Besseau has preserved it since then. The document contains Einstein's preparatory work for his signature achievement, the theory of general relativity. Einstein's letters have set records twice before, but for much lower prices. November is the best time of the year to see polar bears moving around Canadian shores. During this month, the carnivores gather in large numbers and wait for the waters to freeze before they begin their seal hunt. These bears are playing and wrestling in the Canadian city of Churchill, dubbed the polar bear capital of the world. The area is located within a natural habitat of a large population of polar bears. Sometimes the city's residents even share their streets with these animals. Currently, there are nearly 25,000 polar bears in the wild, and Canada is home to more than 17,000 of them. However, wildlife organizations say these animals are facing the threat of extinction by the end of the century due to global warming. Robots in a war-ravaged city. Androids serve clients in a restaurant in Mosul, an Iraqi city that still bears the scars of the years-long presence of terrorist groups. This fully digital eatery offers a futuristic experience to its customers. From interactive tables to glowing constellations, everything seems like a journey to the future. But the robot waiters are the stars of the show, and the major reason the restaurant attracts a large number of visitors every night.
The idea started during the COVID lockdown. As you know, people spent most of their time on social media during that period, since commuting was not allowed. So we tried to look at different ideas from around the world, and thank God we were able to execute this idea and complete this project.
The owner of the eatery says he has imported the robots, but other technologies used there are the work of a group of young engineers from the University of Mosul. The venue has already become very popular, and many visitors call it their favorite place in the city. Qatar displays a dazzling drone show as it unveils the countdown clock for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Doha. The clock, in the shape of an hourglass, is located at Doha's iconic Cornish fishing spot. The distinctive design enables the structure to be seen from any angle and stand out from the spectacular city skyline behind it. The event reveals to fans worldwide that just 1 year to go to the big kickoff. Famous athletes including David Beckham and Samuel Eto'o were in attendance at the ceremony. They may not realize it, but they are extremely lucky if two pandas have been adopted by superstars, Chinese Olympic champion Zhang Jiechi and Paris Saint-Germain footballer Kylian Mbappe have become godparents to a pair of panda cubs. The athletes have both expressed satisfaction with their new role, with Mbappe calling his godparenthood a big moment. The cute cubs are only 3 months old and can barely stand on their own feet. They are called Yuan Dudu and Huan Lili. Space lovers have been treated to an epic lunar eclipse that dazzled the night skies of the Northern Hemisphere. The event is also known as the Blood Moon because of the red haze seen around the moon during the eclipse. The 3.5-hour phenomenon gave stargazers the chance to witness the longest partial eclipse in 580 years. Although NASA calls this celestial event a partial eclipse, around 97% of the moon was cast into a red hue by the Earth's shadow. A total eclipse could also be seen in Russia's far eastern regions. The next longest partial eclipse will take place in around 648 years.
An 11-month-old baby has become an internet sensation after a video of her snowboarding went viral in China. Wang Yuji is a daredevil infant snowboarder whose adorable face sticks out underneath all the protective snow and sports gear. Her parents decided to learn skiing during the winter, but they also wanted to include their baby on the fun of snow sports. While snowboarding might be a bit too early for a toddler who can barely stand or walk, Yuji was not scared at all and even enjoyed it. China, which is hosting the Winter Olympics in a couple of months, is encouraging citizens to try ice and snow sports.
Every year, the roads across this tiny island in northwestern Australia turn scarlet just as millions of crabs leave their homes in the depths of the forest and start marching together all the way to the ocean where they can mate and spawn. The spectacular group voyage on Christmas Island happens after the first rainfall in October or November. And in order to give these red creatures the leeway, locals close off multiple roads across the island. They've even built a special bridge for the crabs so that they can cross the road unharmed. The mesmerizing migration is now a tourist attraction, drawing nature lovers from around the globe.
Paleontologists in Brazil have discovered remains that could belong to a species of dinosaur as yet unknown. The fossils were found at a site in northeastern Brazil. A team of scientists is trying to put together the bones and complete the huge dinosaur's skeleton. They think it lived during the Cretaceous period, which began around 145 million years ago and ended with extinction of all dinosaurs roughly 66 million years ago.
IRIB English Radio.